Hello and welcome to Rick's Martini Bar. This is a special episode, and unfortunately no Rick Farmelo, no Amanda Raymond, and no martinis, because I am at the Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel with the lovely and talented Kelly Maroney. Kelly, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Kelly has appeared in a ton of movies, but one of my favorites, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And so we got to talk about a lot of things, but can I talk about Fast Times at Ridgemont High first?
Yes, you can.
Awesome. That movie, one of my favorite movies, just being a young kid and watching that, probably the most true-to-life high school movie that I ever saw in my life, still to date. And a Cameron Crowe book. And but what amazes me is three Academy Award winners came out of that movie: Sean Penn, Nicolas Cage, and Forrest Whitaker. So my question for you, Kelly, my first question for you, when you saw those guys, did you see something in those guys that you said, those guys are going to do something?
I would say with Sean more so, because I got a chance to work a little bit more with Sean. We spent a little bit more time on the set. Nick Cage was just a sweet, sweet guy on the quiet side. And Forrest Whitaker, also a sweet guy, but didn't, there's a horn honking. That's how you know we're really outside. Wow.
They're stealing a car at the Beverly Hills Hotel right while we speak here.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Thank you. Boy, my concentration is lasers. Ow.
No.
He was very, very nice and everything, but he had one line in the entire movie, and that was, "Don't fuck with it." That was the only thing he said. He walked past John, and he's like, "Oh, you know, kissing his butt about the car," and that's all he ever said in that whole movie. Now, then when he became, you know, like
Forrest Whitaker.
Wow.
Like we know.
It got recut, and all of a sudden, all of his football stuff is in there. And,
yeah.
You know, Amy Heckerling had very wisely, we used to laugh about it at the time. She shot everything in coverage of us walking to our trailers. It was like, I think we have coverage on this. And as a result, she can make that movie into anything she wants it to be to this day.
And she was a kind of interesting choice for that movie to be the director, and then later she did Clueless and stuff, but she just did a really good job in it.
Well, she was exactly right for the edginess, and also because in the book it's really Stacy's story more than anybody else's, and to handle those, it was very sensitive at the time. She had an abortion in the movie and stuff like that. A woman director was really kind of key, and she was very hot coming right out. She was an NYC NYU, excuse me, graduate, and she had done a movie that had caught everybody's attention called Losing It.
Wow.
And she always had this skewed version of women. It was, this girl just couldn't wait to get rid of her virginity, and she didn't care how it happened. And, you know, and so she really had the right sense of these girls.
But the book was written by Cameron Crowe, so a guy's perspective, but he wrote the book basically about focusing around her.
Well, yeah, because Linda and Stacy were actually his best friends. He went undercover for a whole year because he was young.
Right.
I think he started writing for Rolling Stone when he was about 15
or
something.
Right, right.
And so he was getting away with it. And he really got to, I mean, those were his friends.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of it really happened or how much he, but he goes into great depth about, I think he believed in himself because he knew stuff about those kids.
Yeah.
Like my character never even made it into the movie, but he kind of liked her in real life. And she told him that she wouldn't go out with him because he didn't have enough spirit. And he must have kind of been stalking her because he found out that she had a job after school where she was the hostess at one of those, like a Sizzler or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit nicer than that. And that she had a little brother that was handicapped, and that's why she was so overbearing.
Wow.
She felt she was making up for everything. And all these little things, I mean, just reading that book, you had your character, because he practically got, he got inside their heads. He was practically...
Wow. And Kelly was, of course, the cheerleader, Cindy, and in there, and my favorite speech, which was, we don't want to be called Spirit Bunnies anymore.
Yeah, we always hated that name.
And you were telling me that in the book, you actually expanded on that line to make it more true to the book.
Well, yes, we're coming back to the book again. I went back the night before we shot it because something seemed like it was missing. And my line, you know, it takes a lot of courage to get up here and do something no people make fun of, was missing. They didn't even put it in the script. And I went, but that's the heart of the whole speech. So I go, Cameron, the next day, Cameron, this is after I went in the girls' bathroom, and I'd never even heard a Valley Girl accent before. And they go, you're a Valley Girl. And I went, great. And then I had to figure out what Valley Girl was. And I was following these girls around and copying how they talked, because I knew I was going to have to shoot, you know. And boy, were those cheerleaders mad at me. She's making fun of us, I'm so sure. I guess I was, maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
But I said, Cam, can we put this line back in? And he goes, because he's very laid back. He said, that was an airplane. he said, yeah, let's put it in. We'll see if it's happening. And he used to duck his head like this, you know, back and forth. And so we did it. And I think it's like my defining moment in that film. I was so happy. I was so happy that I had enough guts to ask him to put it back.
Yeah. Or, yeah, your defining moment is that moment. But you also have the moment where you're pulling off the glove with your teeth on the during the football game where tackled by Jefferson.
Before Forrest Whitaker won an Oscar, I had a whole thing in there where I did a whole halftime dance to the stripper. And that's all that's left of it. Now, when I win my Academy Award... Of course, they'll have to duke it out over who gets that seat.
And your fellow cheerleader, Dina, mm-hmm. if I remember right, was Pamela Springsteen, right? Bruce's sister.
Bruce's little sister.
And she later went on, and a lot of them went on to horror movies, right? She did Sleepaway Camp.
Right.
And you went on to Chopping Mall and lots of other...
But I must point out, Pamela Springsteen is now a wonderful photographer. She said, the heck with that. I do not want to do horror movies.
Yeah.
This isn't my scene. And she's quite the photographer. She's got pictures of... She photographs famous people, and she's really talented.
Great. Great. And but just so many great people in that movie. If you watch the film, you see Nick Cage, of course, but Anthony Edwards and Eric Stoltz roll out of the Stoner Mobile. And
well, what had happened was they were all people that had auditioned for either Spicoli or Brad, and they thought, these are great actors, but we're going to use Sean. These are great actors, but we're going to use Judge.
Wow.
And then I spent, oh, God, hours and hours and hours one day auditioning with Phoebe and Brian Backer as Stacy.
Wow.
And they said, well, we already got Stacy in Los Angeles because they, you know, but do you want to come out and play the cheerleader?
Wow.
And I said, you bet. I had a feeling about this movie that I should do it. And I want you to know I had to pay my own way out. So we'll put you up here once you get here, but you'll have to fly your way out. I went, no problem.
Wow.
I knew something with that movie.
And you were in New York at the time,
mm-hmm.
right? You were doing Ryan's Hope.
Right.
Doing the soap opera. And let's talk about it. Okay, maybe you've satisfied my Fast Times at Ridgemont.
You sure?
Fix. Maybe. I might need some more. But
all right.
But let's talk about Ryan's Hope just for a little bit, because we were talking about that. Is you played kind of a naughty girl on that one, right?
I was the pit. I was Lolita.
Lolita.
We also did the... is it Kim Novak? Who went out with the gangster and then the daughter killed him?
Oh, yeah, Kim that's Novak. Right. I'll think of it when we get to it, but yeah.
Lana Turner. Who
Lana
did the
Turner,
Lana Turner
yeah.
story? Where I killed our lover. And,
wow.
And we did, and then I did All About Eve, where I got this Broadway part, and then my understudy tried to poison me, and it was great. And I was always either pretending I was pregnant or pretending I wasn't pregnant. And
hit me, but the soap operas. In fact, I've heard that near movie star people will are a little standoffish, but they kind of respect you a little bit when you're on television. People feel like they see you every week.
Hey, you on my stories.
But when you're on a soap opera,
yeah.
If whoever you are in that soap opera.
Ooh, you're kidding. You're bad.
They hate you.
Seneca knows. He's coming after you. You don't know it yet. Why do you talk to your mama like that for?
And that is just one of the things. And when you do a podcast, people take your wallet. That's what that's how fans treat you when you do a podcast. But anyway, so one more thing I want to ask you about Fast Times. I'm going to go back there. You're right. You didn't satisfy me.
I didn't think so.
But Sean Penn in that is, you know, there's a rumor that when he was on that set, he was Spicoli. He had the Beast Spicoli.
He was. In fact, I might be making this up, but I believe he told me afterwards he had to keep it. You know, that was not, he is not Spicoli. Yeah. So I think it was more for his own concentration than anything else. But his honey wagon thing said Spicoli. Well, mine said Kelly. It said, all of ours had our real names. I got to know him a little bit because his extensions, you know, for the surfer dude, he had to show up first thing in the morning to get those put on, and I had to show up first thing in the morning because I didn't have a driver's license, so the Teamsters had to pick me up. And so I got, you know, and the hair and makeup ladies would say, you know, don't be, this is because he's such a sweet boy.
Wow.
Don't be, you know, because I was thinking, oh man, I got to sit here with this guy. God only knows what he's going to say to me. And he was, and I guess, you know, we bonded over that.
Yeah.
He's been one, you know, just really, really nice.
Yeah. So that's his reputation, is he throws himself in the roles, and when he's...
I bet he doesn't do that stuff anymore.
I don't know.
One time, he thought, I don't know what was going on with the cameras or the setup, but it was, we were sitting around for a long time. And as actors do, we were talking and laughing, all that stuff. And he felt that he was getting too close to us, and he was dropping character.
Right.
He took a cigarette and burned his hand with it. To remind himself, a big part of his character was that I don't belong with these kids.
Wow.
And he did that, and I thought, well, he's either crazy or he's a genius. I totally respected the commitment after that.
Yeah.
And then plus, because they told me he was actually really nice, you know, I knew what he was doing. I knew that he wasn't like a whack job or anything.
Yeah.
And I actually met Sean after we wrapped.
Wow.
And he's a different person.
Different person, yeah.
And he did kind of come, hi, I'm Sean. Finally.
and Rick and Amanda, our partners on the podcast, aren't here, but the milk year for the Oscars, they met him and congratulated him. And he was the nicest guy in the world, and I've shook his hand before. Very nice guy, very down to earth. Mm-hmm. When you heard he married Madonna, what'd you think? When he proposed to Madonna at Pink's on La Brea and Melrose there.
Well, I remember when he went down. He went down to when she was shooting the video for Material Girl. He really wanted to meet her, and I think he always kind of had a thing about Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to see them, like, jogging over the 7-Eleven and stuff. Once in a while, I'd be driving by, and I'd go, it's Madonna. Is that Sean? You know, not to say hello to you or anything, but just, like, be driving past. And nothing that Sean does will surprise me. Let's put it that way.
Wow. And so, anyway, boy, we're eating up our time.
He said that about her, too. Somebody asked him, can you believe Madonna? And he goes, nothing she does is going to surprise me. Right back at you, Sean.
Wow. Well, I want to get your plugs in here so we can really, you can check out Kelly. You can go to IMDb and see her body of work, all the stuff she's working on. But www.kellymaroney.com. That's KellyMaroney.com. And she's also on Facebook at Kelly Maroney, MySpace, Twitter. You can get a hold, just search her on the internet. They'll find you, right?
Yep.
They'll find you on the internet.
Yep.
And one last thing before we leave. Well, there's so many stuff I wanted to talk about. Night of the Comet, one of my favorite movies also. But there's one little thing. We left the Polo Lounge, and we were having lunch, and the table next to us, by the way, there were some big celebrities in there. Who else did we see? We saw
Mary Hart,
and then Nicole Kidman came in at the end. You see her come in at the end. And but anyway, the table right behind us, there was a management team talking to a young actress. And Kelly called bullshit more than once.
I didn't throw any food at her.
But if you could tell that young actress one thing from your years of experience in this city, what would you run back to Minnesota? What would you tell her?
Don't believe it. It's their job to come in here and say, what kind of TV shows do you like? You know, with the air that they can get you on them.
Yeah.
you know, their job is to sell.
Yeah.
I said to him at the time, I would have gotten frustrated if I wasn't enjoying our lunch so much. I wanted to run over there and say, they were steering her down the wrong road every which way, you know, with the air of such utmost authority. And I remember being new in town and just somebody tell me something. I'll do whatever I'm supposed to do, but what is it?
Right.
And I think she actually had a little bit more savoir faire about it than I did. She didn't look like she got taken in as much as I probably would have and do to this day.
Well, that sounds like a good advice to wrap on. So, Kelly Maroney, thank you for being so incredible. Thank you for the movies. Thank you for Night of the Comet, which I didn't even get to talk about, but I love that film as well.
I'll come back.
And there you go. You can come back to the podcast, and we'll see you. So, thank you for joining us at Rick's Martini Bar. I got to mention a couple of our sponsors. PB Imaging. If you go to our website, you can see PB Imaging, and if you click on them, we get a little piece of what business you do with that their company. And then also audible.com, where you can download an audio book that you can listen to, and there's some great books on there. So make sure you visit them, and you can download this podcast at www.mccartymetro.com. Thank you, Kelly, for being here.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone.
Sorry, Rick and Amanda, you weren't here. You missed a great lunch and a great interview. Take care. Bye-bye.